surprised my grandchildren when reading them books by reading the emotion that's written. I don't know if you notice that we sometimes read very monotone. But sometimes a children's book will say that a person shouted, and so when I'm reading, I shout. Or that they whispered, and so I whisper. Or that they groaned, and so I groan. Have you noticed that we do that sometimes with the scriptures? Psalm 100 is our text today, and sometimes we read like this. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. The words are precisely what's written, but the way I read doesn't exactly match the words, does it? So this is how I think the author of Psalm 100 imagined that it should sound like. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen? I'm not sure if you were going through the Psalms, how you would choose which chapters to do. I announced at the beginning of the series we're not doing all 150. A few of you turned in nominations for Psalms. I thank you for that, and I have already meditated on some of those. You might have been asking, well, how about the 100th Psalm? Isn't that the big Thanksgiving and praise Psalm? So that was our reading and our meditation for today. Nobody actually nominated the 23rd, which I imagine is one of the more well-known chapters of the Scriptures in all of the world. And we are going to meditate on that next Sunday. December, of course, is Advent, and we'll be talking about Advent and take a break in the Psalm series. In our Tuesday study this semester, we've been meditating on a book called The Hour That Changes the World. That's about prayer. And actually, there's lots of overlap as we're looking in on Sundays at the Psalms, which are prayers. Songs, most of them are prayers that were sung. And this week on Tuesday, our chapter just happened to be on the topic of thanksgiving. Each of the 12 weeks of the study is an element of our prayer. And this, of course, is a very essential element, isn't it? And the theme verse for this chapter was 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Does that seem like an easy thing to do? John the Apostle said to us in 1 John 5:13, his commands, the Lord who commands us, his commands are not burdensome. I don't need to explain what that is. You've received burdensome commands in your life. And at times we may be tempted to think that some of these commands are that way. This fall we preached through the Ten Commandments. We called that series the Big Ten. And I hope we discovered that those commands in our lives are blessing. They are not meant by God to be a burden on our lives. They might require change. If we're not living according to what he has deemed for us, it requires change, but that change should be blessing. In everything, gives thanks. Is that really possible? We're people led a lot by our feelings, and there are times when we feel thankful and when we do not feel thankful. Not rocket science. I'm not revealing. I don't see people, oh, I'm going to write that down. I didn't know that. Sure, we feel thankful. Sure, we don't. He's saying when you feel thankful and when you do not feel thankful, give thanks. Say thank you. So I'd like to give us a biblical example, the people of Israel, and I'm going to open to Ezra chapter 3. That's right after the Chronicles. It's on page 414 in the Bible, if you happen to have the same exact Bible that I do. If not, you're allowed to look in the table of contents. Ezra is a prophet of God and a leader in the people of Israel. And this story is going to illustrate for us very well this question. Is this really possible? Last week in Psalm 84, we referred to the building of what is called by the Jewish people Solomon's Temple, an amazingly beautiful and ornate structure. Solomon, it's quite an astounding story to read about the dedication of the temple that went on for many days and the volume of animals that were sacrificed in praise to God at this place, which was now to be the center of their life and worship and obedience to God. The temple lasted for 376 years. The obedience did not last that long. In fact, the Old Testament is a repeated cycle of obedience to God by the people of Israel, of accommodation of sin, of open disobedience, of open rebellion, of God withdrawing his hand of blessing, of the victory of opposing and enemy kings, and warnings by the prophets and the people returning to God and returning to faithfulness and returning to worship and sacrifice in the temple. These cycles repeat themselves many times in the Old Testament. So kings rebelled and God warned people through the prophets. They didn't take heed. And Israel was eventually invaded in one of these times by the king of Babylon. The temple was burned to the ground. Treasures were carried off, and the people were led captive to Babylon. Eventually, after 48 years in captivity and exile, they returned. And this man, Ezra, led the rebuilding of this temple. So the temple was completed, dedicated by Solomon in the year 964 BC, before Christ. And the fall of Jerusalem, the burning of the temple, was in the year 587. Remember, the years are going in reverse because we're counting up to the time of Christ. 376 years, this temple stood where Solomon and his people had built it. So Ezra, the word of the Lord, it says, came to Cyrus, the king of Persia, and he released the Jewish people, and they were allowed to go back. Believe it or not, this chapter 2 records that 49,697 of the people of Israel returned. Not 49,696, but 49,697. Somebody went to the work of counting exactly how many people left exile and returned to Israel, and specifically to Jerusalem. If you watch the news and imagine war in a place like Syria today, I think the image would be a little bit like that. You're waiting for peace to come. Millions of people have become refugees. And if peace is attained, they'll return to their country. And you think to yourself, how could you come back and live in that pile of disorganization and rubble? Now, not all of Israel was pillaged and burned like that, but much of Jerusalem was. And so when the people come back, we'll read this in Ezra 2 and chapter 3 as well. There was a seven-month period where Ezra allowed them to just settle, to get back to their towns, to rebuild their homes, to replant their gardens and fields, to get water running again and return to some minimal normalcy of life. And then the first priority of everything was to rebuild God's temple, to make a place for worship, to give thanks, and especially for the altar of sacrifices. And this, I want to call your attention in Ezra chapter 3 to this song that they sang. Note that the psalms that we read today, Psalm 136 and Psalm 100, neither has in the superscription in your Bible an identification of who wrote the psalm. So we notice that psalms are written by the sons of Korah, the sons of Asaph, Solomon, David, Psalm 90, there's one written by Moses. But not all are identified, and these two are not. It doesn't say who wrote them. But most are written during the period of the books of Samuel and Kings, which are about 1,000 to 900 years before Christ. This is now the year 539 before Christ when they come back. So over 400 years have passed since the authorship of these two psalms that we read today. And the older people who come back from exile know these psalms. Remember that a lot of these 49,000, some who come back, are not coming back home. This was never their home. They were born in exile. There's 48 years worth of Israelites now who don't know Jerusalem. They've only heard about it. Who've never seen the temple. They've heard about it. Who don't know worship to God. They've heard about it. Who've never seen a sacrifice made. They've just heard about it. But they were taught thanksgiving in exile. They celebrate and sing. It says in verse 10 of Ezra 3, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord. And with thanksgiving and praise, they sang to the Lord. The temple had not, there's no vertical construction. What had they done? They had just laid the foundation. That was all. And so thrilled are these people to be out of exile and back in Israel, they just can't even wait for the building to be finished. Some of you have built homes. Maybe had it built, didn't build it yourself, or perhaps you did. And you didn't have a dedication when the foundation was laid. Right, men? You didn't pick your wife up from work and say, and drive her by this concrete slab and say, sweetheart, look, it's our home. It's just a foundation. Pretty vital, isn't it? So thrilled are these people that they're gathering to praise God on this day. And here's what they sang. He is good, his love to Israel endures forever. Those sound familiar, those words? That's verse 5 of Psalm 100. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever. And repeated in Psalm 136, after every phrase of praise. They didn't just pull these words out of the... This is not just an extemporaneous prayer that someone offered. They know this thanksgiving and sing it and are singing a song that they know. Does this sound right, that song? The God who punished our disobedience, who banished us, who allowed our enemies to conquer, to loot and pillage and take us into slavery. Does this sound right? Shouldn't we say, now that we're behaving better, his love has returned. His love has been rebooted, we would say in computer age, wouldn't we? It's been refreshed. It's been renewed. His love is coming back. No, these folk that lived through exile saying these words, his love endures forever. There's no hard feelings. They're not blaming God. They're not grumbling about captivity. They're not cursing their enemy. They would sing this song that we sing today. His love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. It goes on and on. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I'll never have to be afraid because this one thing always remains, his love. It never fails. And I'm calling us to remember on this week of Thanksgiving. Sometimes we forget that giving thanks is not just praising God, it's teaching someone else. So as you gather around a table with your family or extended family or someone who invited you to celebrate with theirs, or maybe at the table of a restaurant. I don't know what your family's habit is. You're teaching someone else, our God is worthy to receive all thanksgiving. Amen? Someone had taught these people. Actually, if you read a little further in Ezra 3, it says, the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. And no one could distinguish the sound of shouts from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise. And the sound was heard far away. We're informed by another passage that I'm not going to open that they wept because they saw that this temple wasn't going to, it was being built on the cheap and quickly. They didn't have the endless piles of treasure and gold and silver that Solomon had put in the first temple. And they wept for what it wasn't and would not be. And those who hadn't seen that temple wept, rather shouted with joy. Maybe you're thinking, you know, in 2016, God is good. His love endures forever. And there's been a lot of motive in my life for weeping. I don't believe Thanksgiving's a time to be dishonest about that. He is God in anguish. He's God when it's time to praise. He's God when I'm really not sure, when I'm ambivalent about what's happening. His love endures forever. We're going to take a few moments and write some words of a psalm. This is the notes that are in the bulletin this morning. They're not exactly a sermon outline, but just following the model of Psalm 136. If you did not get a bulletin, we actually have, Mike is in the back, has extra copies, and a pen also if you didn't bring a pen. And we're just going to take about 3 to 5 minutes right now, and I'm going to ask you to write words of thanksgiving from your own life and testimony in the life of your family. So everybody needs one of these. Just please indicate if you don't have one, and something to write with. No fear factor. You're not going to be asked to come forward and hold a microphone and read these out loud. And you might have 15 to write and not just 5. But please just take a couple moments and write. There's not room for a story or a paragraph, but just a brief word of praise to say, this is how God, up here at the front, Nancy Palmer. Anyone else, please keep indicating some over on this side as well, Mike. Some are still writing, but we're going to pray the psalm that we have written. And I'm going to ask you to stand right now and just gather with a few people in a prayer circle, at least groups of three. It could be a little larger than that if you'd like. And you don't have to feel nervous about what am I going to pray. We're just going to go around the circle, and you can just read. So if you wrote, "Thank you, Lord, for your provision and goodness in my life this year, your love endures forever." That's what you wrote. Just read one of your phrases, and you can go around the circle. If you are nervous and don't feel free to do that, that's fine. I'm not pressuring you. And we will praise the Lord with the words of testimony and thanksgiving of our own hearts. And this initial beginning of the psalm that you're writing, you got the whole back on. You can continue this later at home. Maybe you'd like to do this as an exercise as a family around your table, okay? We have one more song we're going to sing as the worship group returns. Just stand and gather with a few people and take a few moments to pray in the pattern of Psalm 136, that His love endures forever. Amen.
Let's sing together in our closing song, "Forever." Sing praise, His love endures forever.
Amen. As you greet one another this morning and say Happy Thanksgiving, to Merle and Gloria Johnson, you need to say Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year. Because as usual, they're heading to Atlanta and we'll be back the first week of January. So, and our words of blessing this morning are 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Amen. You've described a lot of gifts and motives for thanks today, but you could never exhaust describing the gift of the Son who came to us. Amen. God bless your Thanksgiving. Go in peace. Amen.